views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. Each week, you'll learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness and explore the deeper knowledge within. Welcome home. Now here's your host, Dr. Kelly Neff.
Hi everyone, I am Dr. Kelly and you are listening to Lucid Planet Radio on Transformation Talk Radio and WBLQ 1230 AM, Rhode Island, Connecticut, and New York. Stay with us for the next hour and let us help you experience some inspiration, healing, and knowledge, because every week on Lucid Planet Radio, we will have some of the most gifted scientists, healers, speakers, authors, and visionaries helping you to become the greatest version of yourself. You can find out much more on thelucidplanet.com and stream all of our podcasts for free on lucidplanetradio.com, iTunes, and SoundCloud by just searching for Lucid Planet Radio. You can also connect with me on Facebook and Twitter by just typing in The Lucid Planet with Dr. Kelly. We're also expanding the show. It's very exciting. We'll be reaching 11 million homes in the U.S. and over 100 countries. This is a great time to jump in and get involved if you've wanted to become an advertiser or sponsor or partner of the show. I have some amazing deals right now. Just go to, again, thelucidplanet.com or email me directly at drkellyness@gmail.com. I wanted to start today's show by saying we are broadcasting out of Denver. I'm broadcasting out of Denver, of course, our home station right now, WBLQ, 1230 AM. We just got dumped with 20 inches of snow in about 6 hours. So if there are any issues with sound or streaming, that's why, and we're doing our best to repair them. So if anything drops out, just stick with us and we'll be right back as soon as we can get things repaired. But sounds like everything's going well so far. And I'm really excited because this is an important show today and it's a really important topic. And it's really about living more sustainably and creating more economically viable paradigms for the future. Now, in the past few months, we've already had Dr. Amit Goswami here talking about conscious economics. We've had Alexis Neely on talking about the way that we understand wealth and abundance. And today, I'm really excited to welcome my friend and the creator of Sustainable Human, Chris Agnos, to the show. We'll be talking about the path towards a global gift economy. And let's just give you some context here. We know that there's technological unemployment, there's extreme inequality, and exponential growth are kind of eroding the foundations of our current economic system. And the politicians and the elites, many of them are invested in the status quo, and they're really incapable of coming up with solutions within the current framework that we're living in. Many people are seeking a more conscious economic paradigm, but what exactly does this look like, and how could we create something like this? And it really might be up to each of us to make these changes and to take step towards a voluntary gift-based economic system that can also restore our lost sense of community in this very fragmented world. And so my guest today, Chris Agnos, he is a social and cultural engineer and a storyteller, and he has been running Sustainable Human, the Facebook page and the website. They have over 1.5 million people attempting together to dive into the deep roots of our many sustainability crises. So this is a huge movement that's really happening. Chris has spoken at TED. He has recently flipped the idea of an organization upside down in a way that he hopes will offer an alternative narrative for people to really choose to bring about a world of sustainable abundance for all. This is really important. So on that note, I'm really thrilled to welcome Chris to the show. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Kelly. It's so great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Wonderful. Absolutely. And I guess the best place to start is, Of course, you created Sustainable Human. What does it mean to you to be a sustainable human?
Well, it's interesting. You know, the word sustainability, you know, it's used almost everywhere these days, depending on where you're looking. and so it can be quite confusing of a topic. But the way I like to look at sustainability, it's really, it begs a question. Sustainability is just the ability to sustain something. So the question is, what do you want to sustain? And that's really the question that we need to answer when it comes to sustainability before we even try to change anything that we're doing. I think that many talk about sustainability in terms of our economic system. How do we keep capitalism sustainable? How do we keep the stock market rally sustaining? How do we sustain, any number of other things? But what I'm really interested in sustaining is life. I think life is what needs to be sustained. And when we start looking at what it takes to sustain life, then we start seeing that our economic system is really not helping us do that in any way.
Not at all. And what do you think are some of kind of the major problems that are facing us in the journey or the struggle almost to sustain life?
Well, I think that there is a story, basically. I think that what drives human behavior, no matter who you are, is the story that you tell yourself. And so there's a story that we've been telling ourselves, kind of a collective story about the world, that sees it as something to be conquered or something to be controlled. And I think it's this story that is actually eroding eroding the planet's capacity to support life. I mean, you can look at any number of environmental disasters, from the tar sands to, you know, the coral reefs dying because of ocean acidification.
Oh, yeah.
There's all kinds of harm that's being done because of, ultimately because of our economic system that compels endless growth. And that is really, I think, the number one enemy of life on this planet at this point.
Where do you think the story comes from?
Well, yeah, it kind of is a story that kind of started, actually, I think, with the invention of agriculture. I think when you go back and if you were to study hunter-gatherer societies, what you would find is that they had a very different outlook on who they were in relationship to the earth and everything else in it. So they considered themselves part of their environment. They didn't see any separation between themselves, the environment, and, you know, even the animals that they would go out and eat. They would recognize that, you know, all life is sacred. All of the environment, everything in the environment is sacred. But what happened was, is when we developed agriculture and we started staying in one place and we started cultivating the land so that it would meet, so that it could grow more food in abundance, really, so that you can now form cities and you can now support other types of jobs. Well, that, you know, ultimately, I think, gave rise to the idea that there's nature out there, which is, you know, there's floods, there's hurricanes, there's all kinds of wolves, there's pests, there's insects, there's all these things that could harm a crop. And so we started looking at nature as something to be controlled or something that is potentially harmful to us and to our development. Basically, nature doesn't want to be controlled. We're trying to control it, and now we're reaching kind of like the limits of that control.
Well, it's just funny. Those of us in Denver today know that nature will not be controlled, and it's kind of a fallacy of humanity to believe that we can really control anything. Now, of course, it's a double-edged sword in a lot of ways because, you know, we're seeing such incredible advances in technology. You know, we're 3D printing hearts. They're now saying we can use immunology to completely heal cancer. I just read something today about being able to kill the HIV virus. uterus, with it, like, right, replacing it within the genes and all this stuff. So on the one hand, we have, like, these amazing technologies to prolong life and to create abundance and to try to make human life better. But then it's contrasted very severely with a lot of pain and a lot of destruction in our natural world and kind of this loss of our community, the loss of our connection to the natural world and really to ourselves. And so I guess where I'm going with that, it's kind of a funny, interesting, strange time to be alive. We're seeing these two kind of intersecting views of the world and trying to make sense of it. Do you agree with that?
You know, yeah, I think technology is something that is neutral, ultimately. It's not good or bad. It's how it's applied that makes it either helpful to our goal or not helpful to our goal. And so if your goal is to sustain life as long as possible, and that's it, you know, you just want to live as long as you can, despite, you know, you're not really worried about the quality of that life, the opportunities that are presented in that life, but you just want to live as long as you can, well then, yeah, those technologies seem to be aiding that goal. But if our goal is not to maybe live as long as possible, but to increase the quality of that experience while we're here, and to enrich that experience while we're here, then we're going to talk about using different technologies. We're going to talk about, you know, different goals, using different methods to achieve
it. It really feels important to keep everything in balance and in perspective. We're not supposed to live forever. I don't want my consciousness, you know, uploaded to a computer like Johnny Depp in Transcendence so that I can live on forever. You know what I mean? I really think, for me at least, it's very important to try to find that balance between our human drive for kind of like all-encompassing knowledge and power and success, really, while also taking care of each other and taking care of the planet. And we're going to go in for a quick break right now. But when we come back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, Chris Agnos and I are going to talk about some of the major components of finding that balance. And it has to do with changing our economic paradigms, really by ourselves, within our own lives, taking action so that we can then send ripples and shockwaves. Because we know, right, Chris, you change yourself, you change the story, you can change the world. I know that's one of your mottos. So please stick with us, and we will be right back after this break.
Well, you can walk out on me tonight if you think that it ain't feeling right. But darling, there ain't no getting over me. Well, you can say that you need to.
Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Kelly from Lucid Planet Radio. I want to tell you about Lucidity Festival, the amazing arts, music, and healing event happening in Santa Barbara, California, April 8th through the 10th. Join me for 3 days and check out amazing artists like Haywire, Blue Tech, Keller Williams, and Kyla Scintilla, as well as workshops, healing services, creative villages, dancing all night at the Silent Disco, and interactive art displays. Also leading up to the festival, April 4th through the 7th, is the first Lucid University immersive learning opportunity. If you want to have fun, grow, connect, and better your life, mark your calendar April 4th through the 10th for the entire Lucidity experience. You can save over $100 when you bundle tickets for Lucid University and Lucidity Festival. Learn more about both events and get your tickets today at lucidityfestival.com. Use my special discount code LucidPlanet when you purchase for a $15 discount.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer.
Join us on Spirit Fire Radio. Discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day.
And watch yourself connect in a whole new way. Find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio.
Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. for your weekly guide to practical mindfulness. And to learn more, visit www.spiritfireradio.com.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
We are back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, and I am here with my guest today, Chris Agnos, who is talking with us about sustainability and the path towards a gift economy. But before we continue, Chris, I just want to make sure that everyone knows how to contact you, how to find out more about Sustainable Human, and also about your new projects you're working on.
Yeah, I mean, everything you can find, you know, either by going to the website, sustainablehuman.com, or to the Facebook page. But really, what I'm talking about with the gift economy, you'll want to go to sustainablehuman.com because that's dedicated to that entire initiative.
Awesome. Really exciting stuff. And we'll talk, as we talk about this, you know, my feeling is that it's very empowering to be told, like, yes, you can actually vote with your dollar, you know, and you can actually create something by gifting. You can make changes. You don't have to sit here waiting for politicians. I know everyone's, like, obsessed with the election and everything like that. And I'm sitting here watching this whole circus sideshow playing out, just thinking, like, well, what can we do in our own lives to make things better? And that's why I think, Chris, what you're doing with Sustainable Human is so important, because it's really about empowering people right now to make changes.
Yeah, you know, a lot of, you know, one of the things I like to say is that we all think that we seem to think we need money to do anything. You know, like, if I want to start a project, then I'm going to have to figure out how much everything costs. And then I have to go out and crowdfund for the money and pay for it. But, you know, everything that we built as a species has, you know, been built by hands, you know, human hands, human ingenuity, human imagination. All of these things are really what does it. Money is just the reward that you would get for participating. I'm thinking that there's another reward out there besides money. And that reward is gratitude. It's actually, I think, a core human need to feel like we belong to something, that we matter, that somebody else needs us. And when you enter into a gift economy, that's exactly what happens. You get people are grateful for what you give to the community. And actually, that's how you get status in a gift community, is instead of kind of our society where you see the people who take the most get the most status. Well, in a gift economy, it's the opposite. You know, the more that you give to a gift economy, the more status you get, because the more recognition you get for those gifts.
I love that line of thinking. It is kind of sick how we do tend to put people on a pedestal who are hoarding as much wealth as they can that they don't need, usually by screwing other people over, and we look up to this. When really we should be vilifying it, in my opinion.
I think we should. But yeah, I agree.
I know. So you make these people president. It'll be great. My question for you is, Chris, so you mentioned giving. What is a gift economy? For the people out there who haven't heard of this term or who are unfamiliar, how can you best kind of explain to them what this means?
Well, I think the easiest way to explain it is simply to point it out that it already exists in each of our lives. Whenever we have friends over for a dinner party and we cook them a meal, you know, we don't charge them $20 a person at the door to get in or at the end of the meal. You know, we're not pulling out our credit cards and paying each other for them, but we're giving a gift. And usually when we receive that kind of gift, we feel gratitude and we have a desire to give back to those people, right? And I mean, parent-child is really the ultimate gift relationship mostly. Could you imagine, like, you know, when you're 18 years old, and you leave the house, your parents give you a bill for the 18 years of food and shelter and everything that they provided you, and now you're in debt to your parents. You know, could you imagine what the world would be like if we didn't have a gift economy? It wouldn't even be worth living in. So
what about pets? I think about you. I know. I just saw a video of you and your kitties, and I love my kitties. Well, I mean, aren't pets the best example?
Yeah, I mean, they never charge any money, right, for their love or anything that they give you. Yeah, of course. We're the only, you know, we're the only species on this planet that's using money. Every other species uses a gift relation. You'll notice in many, you know, chimpanzee communities, the chimps that groom other chimps are the ones that receive grooming from the other people. The ones who don't wind up not getting that. So the more you give, you know, it's a very natural thing. The more you give, the more that people or animals want to give back to you. It's the same thing. It's a very natural principle, and it's something that, you know, resonates with each of us. Now, the problem has always been, how do we scale this gift community? Because we all have a gift community within our network of our friends and our family, but you know, how do you do this on a mass scale, you know, when you don't have the visibility of what each person is given? And that's where technology now gives us that capacity to do that. We couldn't do this 30 years ago before we had the internet and ways to track our contributions. So in a gift community that scales to a global gift community, we have to have a way where we where the community can recognize the gifts that we have all given, because that ultimately, again, is the reward instead of money in our current economy.
So how, give us a kind of structure or kind of example maybe of how a gift economy would function.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you an example. Well, I'll give you an example about how it could function. So, like, let's imagine that we have our I'll invent a character. His name's Bob. And Bob lives in San Francisco. You know, it's a pretty wealthy city. He's done pretty well in his life. He's now 55 years old. He's retired because, you know, he's made enough money in his life. And he owns his house in the Mission District in San Francisco. And next door to his house is actually an empty lot. And in this empty lot, this lot has been empty for the last 10 years. And he actually knows the owner of this empty lot, and they talk. You know, they have Sunday tea together, and they talk, and they talk about the world's problems, and they see the inequality, that the rising inequality. They see the kind of environmental destruction, and they're starting to connect the dots, and they want to do something. So there's this empty plot of land, and he doesn't, you know, the owner doesn't want to develop it. It's been empty for a long time, and they want to create a community garden in this empty lot. But neither of these people have grown a tomato in their whole life. None of them have done any community outreach or any organization. They don't have those skills, but they have a desire, you know, and a gift to give. And so what they do is they would come on to the gift community and say, you know, I have an intention. I would like to create a community garden out of this vacant plot of land. We will give the land, but we don't know how to grow things, and we don't know how to give things away in the community and organize all of that production. But other people do. Other people have done that, and they don't have access to land. So what you do is you put that out, and you create a plan, basically. You develop a plan for how you're going to create a gift and give it away. It's the same thing that corporations do whenever they want to develop a product, you know, an iPhone. I mean, think about it, the iPhone, which everybody uses, and, you know, so many people use around the world, is something that was probably developed by a few thousand people, you know. So it doesn't take a lot of people to create something that has a large impact in the world. And
Very true.
So, you know, you could get a few of these people together with the right skills and coordinate together and then just give those things, whatever you create, away. I mean, there's nothing stopping us from doing that. And it totally undermines the current paradigm, you know. The current paradigm can't compete with free and abundance. In fact, capitalism is only going to work as long as we have scarcity. That's just the way it works. You couldn't run a capitalist society if everything was abundant. You couldn't sell sand at a beach. It's just that simple. So, you know, our job, I think, is to work together to realize our capability of doing this on our own, without our government's help, without anybody's help, without even the help of money. We can do this and figure this out together. So that's kind of the idea of where we can go. It's really just a shift in how we see our capabilities when we work together.
Again, like rewriting our story.
Yes, exactly. Rewriting the story. What story do you want to tell? You know, the story where everyone's out for themselves and I have to watch out for everyone because if they get more than I do, then there won't be enough for me. You know, that's just a story. That's just a story. There's no fact to that. It's a story, and that we tell ourselves, and we can tell ourselves a different story, which says that, gosh, if we all work together and we recognize the unique gifts of each individual and we work together to meet all of our needs, all of a sudden it becomes so much easier. We don't have to work as hard even.
And it's kind of ironic because, you know, I've been thinking as we're chatting about how money, it is unnatural to us. And we're the only species on the planet, like you said, that deals with money, but also that has to earn a living to pay money to live on the planet. And that's really
right.
Strange thing to think about. And yeah, I guess maybe you can move to the jungle somewhere and live off the grid for free, maybe off the land like we all used to do. But if you're born into like a modern Western capitalist society, you actually have to pay money to live on the planet that all the other animals get to live on for free. And that
even if you do go off into the jungle, eventually some corporation is going to want to get the oil from underneath your feet. So you're not going to be
safe for very long, even in that environment. And on that note, we're going to take a quick break right now. And when we come back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, Chris Agnos and I are going to talk more about what the gift economy is, how it looks, how it's different, the difference between gifts and monetary transactions, and also our communities and how to make these changes in our lives. So stay tuned and we will be right back after the break.
Everybody, this is Dr. Pat. Many of you have heard me talk about the Lyme disease epidemic going on right now in the world. I want to tell you about my friends at Results RNA. They have now created an entire Lyme support system for immune system support, detoxification, rejuvenation, and neurological healing. Please visit ResultsRNA.com to learn more. And for first-time orders, you'll receive a special 10% discount. All you have to do is type in Dr. Pat at checkout.
What is a master soul gardener? With Nomi Bahar, you can be one too. Her revolutionary Gates of Power method is a comprehensive program that addresses every aspect of yourself and gives you the tools to tend to the seeds of your soul's garden. Let Nomi guide you through and beyond what's holding you back and help you embrace the life you've always dreamed of. To learn more about upcoming classes and workshops, visit gatesofpower.com today.
Transformation Talk Radio is dedicated to the education and awareness of Lyme disease.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lyme Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Pat, joined here by
Dr. Nusheen Darvish.
Dr. Pat Basile and Dr. Nusheen Darvish will be bringing the most innovative, groundbreaking information, research, treatment innovations, and stories from those it affects every day.
I'm so excited to be talking about this.
We have so much to share.
Dr. Darvish and I are planning to do is connect the dots.
People suffering with all sorts of chronic diseases, it's time. It is time for them to transform.
Tune into Lyme Talk Radio and help keep our mission strong.
For the loyal listeners out there that have been listening to this incredible show on Lyme disease, we are not going to let you down. We're going to come through stronger and enrich the platform for Lyme disease awareness through Lyme Talk Radio. The message will continue, the conversations will become stronger, and the healing epic.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Naturopathic doctor, founder of the Martha's Vineyard Holistic Retreat, and author of the New York Times bestseller 21 Pounds in 21 Days, Dr. Ronnie DeLuce has helped tens of thousands of people, including celebrities and athletes, with her message of lifestyle change. Now Dr. Ronnie DeLuce wants to help you. You too can be saved. Email Dr. Ronnie DeLuce at info@ronniedeluceonradio.com and visit mvholisticretreat.com. Dr. Ronnie DeLuce, your partner in wellness.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Welcome back to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. I just want to let you guys know, if you're hearing the dope tracks that are being dropped in and out of the breaks, those are all artists who are performing at Lucidity Festival, which is in 2 weeks, just about, April 8th to the 10th in Santa Barbara, California. And you've heard some tracks so far from Grime Time and Oneness. You can find out everything about them by going to SoundCloud and entering Grime Time and Oneness. You're also going to hear some tracks from Hollis and Groove Session at some point during the show today. And I encourage you all to go to Lucidity, especially if you haven't been. It's my favorite event, and I love it. It's like coming back to my community. They have an amazing focus on sustainability and learning, and they're launching a new educational initiative called Lucid University. Of course, here at Lucid Planet, we're getting behind that. The idea being you can go before the festival the whole week starting the 4th of April, and you can learn really cool stuff in different immersive areas, from a whole permaculture action week to a week about Reiki to a week about empowerment and leadership. And there's also one on creativity. And I really encourage everybody to check that out. And you can enter my code, LucidPlanet, whether you're buying a ticket to the university or the festival, and you can even save money, which is cool because the price of the festival is going up, I think, today. And I want to say there's only 200 tickets left for the event. So if you haven't jumped on that already, this might be the time to do it. I'll also be giving a couple workshops, one on consciousness and another one on uncovering your sexual symbols and archetypes. So it's going to be really fun. I hope to see you there. Again, you can find out more at lucidity.com. All right. Having said that, shameless plug, we're now going to get returned to our show. I have Chris Agnos here talking about the path towards the gift economy. It would be so nice, Chris, if I could just gift tickets to my listeners, right? And they could come and have this experience of learning and growth and music. I mean, wouldn't that be an amazing thing?
Yeah, well, what stops you from doing that, Kelly? Let's talk about it. What are the resources that you would need to pay for normally
Exactly.
Is there a way that we could get those resources gifted instead of paying for them? I don't know. I mean,
absolutely.
Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe there's some things that it doesn't work. But, you know, let's ask the question.
Well, I think it does. Like, if you look at an event like Lucidity and some of the other transformational festivals, there's a lot of volunteers who go for free in exchange for working the festival, and they're building stages, and they're cleaning up trash, or they're doing recycling, or they're directing the parking, or they're helping people, you know, getting their camping. So I think that that's kind of an example, is that they're gifting, or maybe that's more of an exchange. Maybe you can help elucidate the difference for me, but, you know, they're gifting their time, and they're being gifted a ticket to the festival. Is that kind of like a gift economy?
Well, there's nuances, you know. I mean, in general, barter is not a gift. If we exchange, you know, my services and your services, and it's agreed upon up front, then it's not really a gift, because it's really an exchange. An exchange is not a gift. A gift is something that is given without a need or an expectation of necessarily getting anything back. I mean, now that's not necessarily true, because sometimes when we give things, you know, we kind of like, well, I would hope that this gift, you know, reaches its intended place. I hope that there's gratitude where this gift is received. Now, you know, how could it work? I mean, there's been experiments of people who have tried these types of gift festivals and things where there is no cost up front, and people pay or give money after the conference, depending on how good it was or how their experience was, and then you get different people paying different amounts based upon what they can afford to give. So you might, you know, have someone who's like, that was amazing, and they paid four or five times what you were charging for a ticket price because they could afford it, and that's what that experience meant to them. Whereas somebody else could have had that, but they just didn't have the money. You know, that's the thing about our economic system. You know, we think about our economics a lot of times in a vacuum, you know, not realizing that people have real needs for real things, and they don't have the money to pay for them. What do we do in that situation? Our economics has no answer. You know, that's a very, very real problem that gift economics will take care of, because see, the idea behind a gift is that it will find a need. And you know, when we talk about needs and we talk about economics really ought to be about meeting human needs, and doing that in the most resource efficient way that we can, so that we don't destroy the planet's ability to continue to support life. And that ought to be our goal. And right now what we have is a system which incentivizes the taking as much as we can from nature and as fast as we can to compel, and then trying to, you know, create products and services that are then sold and advertised. You know, we spend $600 billion a year trying to convince each other that we need new stuff. I mean, that's just, that's what's really, and ultimately what that is we're trying to meet, you know, our emotional needs through the sale of, you know, physical goods and services. And once you reach a certain level of having your material needs met, well, then we have emotional needs. And ultimately, what we've done a really good job of is trying to associate certain products with meeting those emotional needs, which will never work. And that's really what's behind a lot of the excess consumption in our society.
I mean, you couldn't be more right, Chris. And, you know, we see it across all of these industries, whether it's like the beauty industry or the fashion industry or food, oh my goodness, that people are really being taught. And again, this isn't something, I don't look at most people and say like, oh, you're greedy people, you're the problem, wake up. It's more like we've been conditioned and brainwashed from birth into a world that wants us to believe that consumerism is the answer for us. And that's really, I think, the biggest part of the struggle, because consumerism does not make you feel better. Maybe you get an immediate little boost, like little excitement, but it's the same as trying to like heal your depression by eating cookies and donuts and ice cream. And, you know, I've been there. It doesn't work. You you just feel worse in the long term. It's a hollow emptiness. And to a certain extent, we have to accept there's an emptiness to life. There's an emptiness to human existence because we are this empty vessel and we're trying to fill it, but we're not necessarily trying to fill it with the right thing. We need to be filling it with ourselves and our passion and our community and things that really in the long term resonate and make us feel good. And instead it's, you know, this conditioning that we do need to get out of for our own well-being, that we need to fill it with stuff and things.
I like to say that, you know, before we were a consumer, Before each of us were consumers, we were a child with a dream or a passion. Then something happened to us where basically what happened to us was that we were told that that dream or that passion, you can't earn any money doing that. You know, that's not a product or service for sale. And so, this is I would say that this is probably the story of all of our lives, all of the listeners' lives, every single person that's grown up in our society. At some point, we were a child with a dream, and that dream was maybe to help people, maybe it was to help the environment. It was something usually pretty noble, something outside of ourselves to help the world that we were born into.
Astronaut,
so there's this natural desire that we have when we're born to give back to the world that had gave birth to us. What happens is that we're told that you can't earn any money doing those things, and you have to be realistic. You have to be practical. What you have to do is go and figure out something that you can sell to someone else. And then what you have to do is you do that your whole life. You create a career out of it. So now we're stuck doing the same thing over and over and over again for our whole lives. And we're miserable. We don't have any variety. We don't have, and this is something that I think afflicts all of us. And we do it to our children because this is the world that we've grown up in. So, you know, this has to change. We can do much better as a global civilization. We just have to kind of shake off the cobwebs from the past and kind of look at where we came from and what we have and where we want to go and start choosing consciously what story we want to tell that will help us get there.
It's definitely, it's kind of an imperative now, too, because we're seeing, you know, the shifts happening in our environment. We're being told, you know, we might only have a couple hundred years left on the planet if we don't make changes and if we don't start really thinking consciously and sustainably for life. And so this is, like, something that's really important right now. And we, again, like we said earlier, we can empower ourselves right now to do this. And when we come back from the break, Chris Agnos and I are going to wrap up the show by talking about how we can get involved right now in creating a gift economy in our own lives and putting the idea forward that we can really change the human narrative and the human story about this, really before it's too late. So stay with us, and we'll be right back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly in a few.
Hey everybody, it's Dr. Kelly from Lucid Planet Radio. I want to tell you about Lucidity Festival, the amazing arts, music, and healing event happening in Santa Barbara, California, April 8th through the 10th. Join me for 3 days and check out amazing artists like Haywire, Blue Tech, Keller Williams, and Kyla Centilla, as well as workshops, healing services, creative villages, dancing all night at the Silent Disco, and interactive art displays. Also leading up to the festival, April 4th through the 7th, is the first Lucid University immersive learning opportunity. If you want to have fun, grow, connect, and better your life, mark your calendar April 4th through the 10th for the entire Lucidity experience. You can save over $100 when you bundle tickets for Lucid University and Lucidity Festival. Learn more about both events and get your tickets today at lucidityfestival.com. Use my special discount code LucidPlanet when you purchase for a $15 discount.
What if we really didn't have to die to go to heaven? Are you curious about the afterlife or rebirth? The highly anticipated new book from author Dr. Susan Allison, You Don't Have to Die to Go to Heaven,
is available now. Find out how to find guidance and healing in the spirit realms. Order the book today and put it on your must-read list for 2016. Visit drsusanallison.com to learn more.
Get into it for 2016. Do you want more prosperity, clarity, energy, and balance in your life? Join Lynn Brown now through March for one of her amazing workshops, each focusing on a key part of living your best life. For more information and to register for one of these amazing workshops, visit LynnBrownEvent.com. That's LynnBrownEvent.com. And get into it this 2016 with Lynn Brown.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
Welcome back to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. I am here with Chris Agnos talking about our future and the path towards a new economic paradigm or towards a gift economy. Chris, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been going by far too fast. And I think this is such an important topic when we talk about a lucid planet and kind of people waking up and wanting to create change. What is your advice, Chris, for people who want to create a gift economy, either in their own life or with their family or with their community?
Well, I hope that everybody already has a gift community in their life. That's ultimately what you find is that usually it's the people who have the least amount of money who have the biggest gift community, because they ultimately need their neighbors, they need their family members for support, and they kind of stick together. But as you kind of, you know, rise up the wealth paradigm, you wind up paying people for more things. And I think that's why a lot of the times, the wealthy tend to be more lonely, because they kind of surround themselves with exchanges and transactions all the time, rather than those kind of heartwarming, heartfelt gifts that create real community in their lives.
That's a very good point. Do you think that's part of why we feel like our sense of community is dissolving?
Yeah, I do. I think this whole experiment, where if you think about our global goal, it's to maximize gross domestic product or GDP, which is really just a measure of all of the things that we exchange with each other. It's a sum total of all of the exchanges that were made. And the idea is that the more the GDP grows and the more we exchange with one another, the better off we all are. But what happens in reality is that when we exchange with each other, we don't develop any connections with any individuals. We become dependent on a system, but not any individual. And therefore, our connections with each other erode to the point now where I don't know how many people even know their neighbors anymore. It's a really sad thing that has happened. As the more monetized the society gets, the more lonely we wind up getting. And that's where, you know, this gift economy can really solve two problems. You know, it can solve the problem of inequality, and it can also solve the problem of that emotional gaping hole that most of us have in consumer society, because the gifts that we used to do for each other. You know, here's a perfect example. When I was a kid, I grew up in the 80s, and when I got home from school, you know, we would just be outside with all the neighborhood kids. There was no cell phones. Our parents couldn't get in touch with us. And as long as I was home by sundown, no one worried. But today, we can't do that. We have to pay for childcare. So now we're paying someone to look after our kids, whereas before it was the neighbors that looked after all of the kids in the community. So that's just one small example about how our community gets eroded when we start paying for services. And that's where I think returning to a more gift-based economy, wherever you can, you know, wherever you can, whether it's your entertainment and you stop going to the movies and you instead get together with your neighbors and you sing together or you create together, well, that's going to create gifts and that's going to create community as a byproduct, whereas the movie won't do any of that. So there's always ways that we can stop paying for certain things in our lives and instead work together with our communities to create those things, and we'll be much happier when we do that.
Do you think that there's a certain amount of a leap of faith involved here? Because someone has to kind of like initiate things to a certain extent. You have to go on a limb and you have to be willing to take a little bit of a risk. And it's not really that big of a risk to say, you know, I'm gonna give this to someone. I'm just going to give this away. No expectation. And kind of hope that it'll come back around.
You don't have to give everything away, you know. You don't have to start
there. Oh,
for
sure, for sure. You know, I just mean like as an example,
always,
like
I was just gonna say, you know, you can give away your time. You can give away your attention. You know, it doesn't even have to be material or money that you give away, because so much of us are really just looking for attention in this world, somebody to care about us, and you just taking the time to, you know, sit down at that bus stop and instead of pulling out your phone, talk to the person next to you and just say, hi, how are you? You know, that's a gift in this world.
Oh, I love
because
that.
It lets
I
that
love
person
that you said
know.
That. That's so true.
It is a gift.
I mean,
it lets
them
know that somebody cares, you know. Someone cares enough to know about them. Even though I don't need you, even though I technically don't need you, I still want to know about you. And that's something we can all do any time of the day. To give a gift. So it's always right there. It's just how we see it, you know, how we look at it.
I love that. And I just wanted to bring up something that as you've been speaking, it popped something into my head, which is like, stop trying to make money off your friends and family. I'm just throwing that out there. Not you, Chris, obviously, but people. There's been so many times where like, you know, if let's say, I don't know, your friend does something, so you want like a homie hookup or you want them to let you in for free or you want this and that. Like, it's not about like trying to make money off your friends and family. I know someone who it's like they have a big birthday party, right? But it's not like back in the day where you have a birthday party and everybody comes and you give them cake and whatever and you all hang out. It's like, okay, well, you're going to have to pay me $30 to get in, $50 if you want to stay the night, $20 to park your car. And I'm hearing these things and I'm like, this is completely goes against everything about the idea of having a community, which is not about trying to profiteer off your community. It's about trying to support your community and support the people in your community. That's just my little rant. I just wanted to say that. So there you go.
Well, I think that's very important to say.
Yeah, I think so too. Thank you. We can all take care. It really, and it's not so much, it's about taking care of each other and looking out for each other.
Right. I mean,
and really
that's what it's all
supporting.
About. That's what our economics should be all about anyway. It should be about taking care of each other. We're all on this one earth that's floating through space, you know, and this is the only planet we got. We have to share it. There's no, you know, you can't hoard it for yourself. It's just not a possibility. So, you know, if anybody does, you know, want to get involved with the sustainable human gift economy, I just wanted to let them know that they can go to sustainablehuman.com and they can sign up. And there's really two ways to participate in the gift this gift economy. And most people will probably fall under the first way, which is really you sign up and you put your skills in, the ones that you have, and it could just, like I said, be as simple as your attention. Everybody's got a skill to give. You kind of wait for a project that needs your skills to contact you. And at that point, you can volunteer skills if you want to, if you like that project, if it resonates with you, if it's something you want to bring into this world or help bring into this world. And then
That's
you can
so
give
awesome.
Your gift at that time. And then there's another set of people, of course, who will design the gifts, and this can be anybody. You can flow into either category. But you can also design the gifts, create the process by which you're going to give that gift away, and then reach out to this community and ask them for their support in helping to create that gift. And so it's a very organic process. Anybody that joins, everyone can join. So that's what I was talking about flipping the organization upside down, because in this organization, anyone can join, and anyone can decide what they want to give away. And then they can create a process and invite other people to participate in that process. It's the same process that we've been using since the beginning of human history to collaborate, to do things that we couldn't do on our own. So
thank you, Chris. Really amazing. So everybody get on there, sustainablehuman.com. And what I love about it is there's no pressure. Like you said, you get to decide your gifts. No one's making you anything you don't want to give. It's about doing this organically and together. And get involved. Right. It's a really great project. And, Chris, that's all we had time for today.
Maybe we can have more time some other time.
Let's I would love to have you on, and we'll check in again maybe in a couple months and see how it's all going. Does that sound good?
Yeah, that would be great. We can talk about all the gifts we've given.
Awesome. I love that. Well, thank you so much to Chris Agnos for coming on and sharing such wonderful information. You can join me Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, and find out more about the show again at thelucidplanet.com and also on Facebook and Twitter at The Lucid Planet with Dr. Kelly. And listen to all of our podcasts on lucidplanetradio.com as well as iTunes and SoundCloud. Just type in Lucid Planet Radio. Thank you guys so much. Next week, we'll be airing another show about Lucidity Festival, my favorite event. I hope you catch me there, April 8th to 10th in Santa Barbara, California, giving a couple workshops, and also, of course, use my discount code LucidPlanet. On that note, have a beautiful rest of your day, light and love, and I will see you next week.
You've been listening to the hit show, Lucid Planet Radio, with renowned psychologist and author, Dr. Kelly Neff. Tune in each week as we illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. This hit show will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake up to the greatest version of yourself. Learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness as you explore the deeper knowledge, passion, and purpose within. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for upcoming show topics and to contact Dr. Kelly.